I did some work way back in the day on tobacco, and the crop itself is an amazing agricultural. Forget about the
and
politics.
It's hard
of
work.
The really hard work to harvest.
Were you
tobacco.
Under the canvas? Was it shade grown?
No.
Okay. So you're out in the field, not
oh,
the
yeah.
canvas.
And then, but the hanging it in the sheds,
oh,
and the
God.
Whole process.
Doing the lathes, yeah.
It's so just cool. amazing. Anyway, but that's just one of many, you know, products
Bassets,
that's grown
yes.
in Connecticut. And Paul Larson is the president of the Connecticut Farm Bureau. And basically, we want to talk about, you know, all the rain. We went from drought to rain,
God,
and
Paul.
People just think water's great, but water's not always great.
No.
Right, Paul?
Yeah, that is totally true.
So
I
what,
mean, the right amount is what you want, but too much, too little can be problems.
I think you just said what I was going to say. So, you had another question there?
No.
Well, okay, let's talk about this just for a minute. Okay, obviously tobacco, we just mentioned that. But, you know, you have corn, you have, you know, a number of things that are grown here. We're getting very close to pumpkin season when people go out in the fields and choose their pumpkin, which is always a wonderful thing if you're doing a great family activity. So how are things looking just otherwise?
Well, pumpkins and squashes are one of the crops in Connecticut that has suffered significantly. Some farmers have reported literally total losses on their fall pumpkin and squash crops. Others growing on higher ground fared a little better. But, you know, the good thing is Connecticut has a very diversified agriculture, as you already mentioned, from everything from tobacco to vineyards to, you know, vegetable growers, dairy farms. Each sector is affected differently. And, you know, some have been affected very significantly with these two storms that came through this July and August.
Well, you talked about pumpkins, and obviously they sit on the ground, so that makes sense that they would not do
the
well.
Rot involved,
yeah. So, can you talk a little bit about which crops, other crops may struggle, and then which crops do actually well?
Well, you mentioned tobacco. Some of the tobacco farmers had very high losses. Combination of the flooding that they occurred, if that was the case on their fields, but also just the high moisture led to. Disease problems on the foliage, and the foliage, of course, is what you're harvesting on the tobacco. So there we know of some farmers who literally plowed their field. They did not harvest a single
Ready?
Leaf, so had 100% loss on those. Hay farmers, those who cut third cutting grass silage or
oh,
hay, sometimes you could even get on the field because your tractors would just sink out of sight.
God.
You know, so some major problems there with some of the a lot of the farmers in the state.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, oh, when I retire, I think I'm going to go out and get a farm and get out close to nature and all that. Well, yes, you will be close to nature, and that's what you're dependent upon in many cases. You know, the other thing,
no,
go ahead.
Nature is your business partner in this venture, and sometimes it cooperates, and sometimes not so much.
You know, I think the other thing, you know, we're talking about, Brian was concerned about apples. What's going on with apples?
I think rain is good for apples, right?
You know, this year we get reports from some of our orchards in the state that they're having an excellent year.
Yeah,
so the orchard guys and men and women out there are actually having a very good year. So kudos to them, and you know, they all the farmers need as much support as we can give them with getting out to your local farm stands and farmers markets and buying local at your grocery stores, whatever. So, fortunately, the orchards are kind of a the one bright spot, if you could say. They're doing well. They've had a good crop for what it looks like.
You know, most people don't think of like grapes and wine as a Connecticut thing, but there are a fair amount of wineries and so on. And not only about the rain impact, but like what is the quality of a grape grown in Connecticut?
You know, we have some very excellent vineyards in Connecticut, and they many of them are producing award-winning wines. And you know, we've got some now that 10 years ago, wineries and winemaking in Connecticut was kind of very much a new thing. But now some of those folks have many years of experience, and they're doing a really great job. So. Yeah, we're very blessed to have a number of quality wineries scattered around the state.
Yeah, I think a lot of whites, and there's one in Stonington that I go to, and nameless, let's just go there. But then they're now growing their own grapes. But at one time, I know one to do like some of their lighters, like the Chardonnays and some of that stuff. You basically, they had to bring in the grapes from somewhere else.
Yeah. Yep, and that can be costly. That's gonna you know, keep you in business, but if your costs go up beyond your price point, you're keeping in business, but you're not making any money that year. And you know, and that's another thing with many of the farmers that have had severe losses have been able to get some government assistance through the USDA disaster relief zones. We were declared an agricultural disaster area. But those, you know, you got to remember, those aren't a gift. That's a loan. So that still has to get paid back. And it may keep you afloat, but it means that money's going to come out of next year's profit. So you got to hope that we don't have 2 years in a row like that.
Real quick before we let you go, you know, obviously, you know, in terms of, I don't know how many people sort of get out of school and say, I want to be a farmer type thing. I mean, is acreage that gets farmed in Connecticut, like, what is the trend in the last couple of years?
Well, that's a good question. The trend is that, you know, the state is losing, you know, prime agricultural farmland to development and to other uses, to solar panel installations, for example, or just residential and commercial development. So, you know, it's a finite commodity out there. They don't make more land. And, you know, the farmers that are taking care of their land are doing everything in their power to, you know, be good stewards of the land, but there's only so much of it. So,
do they do well with like the open space initiatives? Does that allow for farming?
Sure. No, Connecticut has a very good farmland preservation program in the state, and then of course there's a number of land trusts around the state that are involved in that as well. But you know, it's still it's not like a huge percentage of all of the farmland in the state. It's a help. It's certainly a good thing, but.
Two quick questions. Number one, I just mentioned pumpkins. We're getting, you know, Halloween's not that far away. Thanksgiving is not that far away. How about Christmas trees? Like, you know, we have a lot of Christmas tree farms around here. How have they been doing?
From what I understand, Christmas trees have not been severely affected except for, again, those that are, you know, have lower-lying properties that have seen some flooding. We have some of the tree species, the Frasers and balsam firs, do not tolerate you know, saturated soil conditions very long, so that's going to hurt those particular tree species and those farmers that are going, you know, in an area that's susceptible to flooding.
But I think you make a good point. A lot of like grocery stores, I know ones that I visit, have like a local produce. They're proud of that, and they tell you where it's coming from and all that. And you know, if you can do that, that's just a real good thing to do. Hey, Paul, thanks for being on.
Hey, you're welcome. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, Paul Larson.
Another farm report as time goes on.
I mean, I think we don't talk enough about the ag in Connecticut. He's the president of Connecticut Farm Bureau, so he's the guy to talk about it with.